persecutions and all kinds of turmoil in their life. So my friends, I do not know whether you notice or not, you are growing in the Lord. Amen. Your faith is growing, and this is the sign. And I'm sure that God has a great word for you, the word of comfort, word of encouragement, word of strength today. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity he has given me to worship with you and to bring you the message of God. And I hope and pray that all of you and your family members are doing well, safe, and healthy. I would like to speak with you a few things as I notice some things what's going on around the world today, because it's very relevant to the message that God has for us this morning. You know, yesterday we celebrated the 4th of July, commemorating the Declaration of Independence of the United States. If you think about it, this Declaration of Independence was the dream come true of the long-awaited liberty and freedom from the British rule. As a result of this independence, people began to exercise equal rights, freedom, social and racial justice, and equity and equality, and etc. However, my friends, the American Revolution could chase the outer oppressor away for freedom, but the same freedom is in jeopardy by the internal oppressors after 243 years. Yes, sadly, we are still oppressed by many things. What we often hear today is about social and racial injustice, political unrest, and protest for freedom of choice to live their lives as they want, the violence of various kinds, broken families and relationships, moreover, the pandemic causing health and financial crisis in the world today. Today there is no news, good news. Though as a mighty country, we are on the top of the world, yet we are being gripped in fear of all sorts, and people slowly are losing hope in everything. My friends, this is not what God expected of us. Amen. This is not what God expected for this nation, which was built upon the foundations of trust in God and His promises. Amen. As I see the nation today, three things came to my mind. Number one, misplaced priorities. People began to pursue the things that have no eternal value and are trying to fulfill the desires of the lusts of their heart. Number two, the misplaced hope. Instead of God, people put their hope in the lesser things of the world that are so temporary, not sure and secure. Number three, misplaced trust in God. People made their positions, power, and name and fame their gods. They don't have trust in God anymore. God has become a laughing stock for some people. All this happened because we lost peace. That is our relationship with God. My friends, it is so true that the peace we used to have is nowhere now. The relationship that we used to have with God is nowhere, because we have removed Christ from the center of our lives. We have removed Christ from the center of our families, our relationships, and try to solve our problems without Christ in the equation. A lot of times, there are a lot of other things come in the equation to solve, but Christ is nowhere found. Sometimes the Christ is sought only as the last resort. But my friends, I have a good news for you. When you look at all this turmoil around the world, I have a good news for you. The good news is here. God has much better plans and purposes for you, for your families, for the community, and for the nation. He doesn't want us to live in a fear and despair. He has an eternal solution for all of us. So, my friends, are you ready to find it? So I would like to welcome you to join me on a journey to pursue peace, rebuilding our relationship with God. Some of you found God so many years ago. You had a good relationship with God so many years ago. But what is your relationship with God today? So often, once we have a relationship with people, we always try to strengthen the relationship and grow in that relationship, go closer and closer and build so intimate relationship. But when it comes to the question of God, when it comes to the question of Christ, we do not try. As a result, we are getting further and further away. My friends, until you come in contact with God, until you build that close and intimate relationship with God, we don't find peace, which is the solution for all the problems in the world today. Everyone likes to have peace, but a lot of people, they are searching for peace in wrong places. They are living with misconceptions about peace. Now, some people think peace is a spiritual coma. I see a lot of people traveling on a pilgrimage. They travel to other countries, join some type of ashram, and follow some gurus. They spend hours and days in yoga, trying to attain eternal peace through deep spiritual sleep. My friends, peace is not the spiritual coma. Just because you went into that spiritual sleep in yoga for some hours and days, and it's not going to build your relationship. It's not going to bring peace in your country or in the world. It's only through true peace. And some people, they think the peace is a mental condition you acquire through practice. You know, they try to practice some form of emotional management techniques to attain peace. And they think the practicing of anger management or emotional adjustments or emotional intelligence would bring peace. My friends, those practices would not give you the permanent, the rebuilding, the lives-building peace. And some other, they think peace is like following karma. You know, they try to be optimistic. That eventually leads them to an intentional ignorance. Being optimistic, they think it's okay, everything will be fine, but it's not going to get fixed until and unless you make an attempt. You need to try for the true peace. These people who have this optimistic outlook and this, they think this, you know, the karma and all these things, and would lead to spiritual insensibility. Some people, they think around, they look at the world and they think all these things, but they say, it's going to be okay, it's all karma. They become so insensible. That's not peace, my friends. This is not the peace the true freedom gives. The freedom that we earned 243 years ago, it made some changes in our life, our social status, but we are still bound to that sinful bondage until and unless we are delivered, until and unless we had change and the transformation in our mind and heart, we do not have a true peace. Now let me turn your attention over to the unique and the most authentic peace, the peace the Lord Jesus Christ offers. Amen. And I said, right, it is unique. It's not as the world is. It is most offending. This is the only source where the peace comes. There's no other place. There's no other source for the peace. John chapter 14 and verse 27, we see, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful. My friends, the troubles and the fears, they shake us up. You know, this is because we don't have the true peace. We think we're trying everything good, but still, the fear, the trouble is still there. True peace comes from Christ alone. Peace is a Christ's legacy. It is his own property. There is no other person who can claim the peace. No guru, no other God, and none else in the history can offer that peace because only Christ purchased it by shedding his blood on the cross. That is his own legacy. That is his own property. Unless we go to God, the Christ, and seek peace from him, there is no true peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5 says, "But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed for our iniquities. Punishment of our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds." Our punishment for peace was upon him. My friends, you and I were delivered from all sorts of bondages because Christ died on the cross. That is the authentic, that is the unique peace that we all need. Griffith Thomas said, "Peace is the restfulness of our abiding attitude and disposition of the soul in relation to God." Means only when we come in contact with God and our attitudes change, our soul builds relationship with God, your soul and God are completely united, then your attitudes are changed. Until and unless you come in union with God, you will not have a change in your attitude, no matter what kind of practices you follow, no matter what you do. And you experience that restfulness in your attitude. There is no frustration, no anger, no fear, no worry, no anxiety, nothing at all. No matter what's going around the world, no matter what's happening in your own family, in your life, you will be steadfast and firm on the promises of God because you cannot be shaken. The peace of God is with you, my friend. Your relationship with God is so strong because God built the relationship with you through his blood. He's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to put you down. You're not going to be ashamed. You're not going to be a failure. I told my children, I always tell them, failure is a choice. As a child of God, you are not designed and created for a failure. You are created for success. You are created to be a conqueror and even more than a conqueror. And you fail, you chose it. Because God doesn't want that. But maybe you're afraid of things going around. You're frustrated. You're distracted. Keep your focus on God. Amen. So my friends, this is the type of peace that God gives. The restfulness. No matter what the turmoil of life, you know, cause. I would like to show you what peace can do in three different ways. It brings a threefold of blessing in our life. Number one, peace with God. When you build a relationship with God, you will have peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." My friends, we were once with God. We were designed to be glory of God. We were designed to be in fellowship with God. But because of our sinful ways, we went away from God. Our rebellion, our rejection, our refusal, it pushed us further away from God. But God was not quiet with that. Because he wanted to bring us back. He wanted to forgive all of our sins. But we were so bound in our chains of sinfulness. Satan claimed our lives that no other power can redeem us. God, in his goodness, in his kindness for us, he sent his one and only Son to this world to die for us on the cross so that the blood of Jesus Christ is paid as the penalty for our sins, delivered us, redeemed us forever from the sin and Satan, brought us back to the Lord, united us with the Lord in heaven. Now we are the children of God. Do you think anything can shake you? Anything can take you away from him? Once you are cleansed by God, you are justified. That means you are made righteous. We were sinful, but now we were righteous, standing in front of God unashamed, saying, "God is my Father." What a peace, my brothers and sisters. What a peace. When you think God is your Father, when you think you are in God's presence, there's no fear. There's no fear. That restfulness you experience, that's what peace brings into our life. And the second blessing is the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. How many times we run into problems and chaos and confusion in our lives. And there were situations that we had to make some critical decisions. We don't know what's happening. We don't know the future. We don't know what exactly happened. My friends, the peace of God will give you wisdom and understanding to make right decisions. He will give you all knowledge and understanding. Nothing will be hidden from you. Every mystery will be revealed. And you know you have that four-way vision. You can see future because God gives you hope. So often, we make so many bad decisions, unwise decisions, that immaturity just destroyed our relationships and our lives. But the peace of God will be with you always. To make the right decision in the right time. Even you think you made a wrong choice. I tell you what, as a child of God, you experience the peace of God. Everything will work together for good and will come to you to give you a success. Even though you made things bad, God is going to turn that over to be a blessing to you. This is not, I'm telling you just for the sake of speech, but I'm telling you out of my experience. The peace of God will help you make a right decision. And the peace in God, number three. John chapter 16 and verse 33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous, I have conquered the world. When we are in God, when God's peace is in us, that means the word of God, the message of peace. When the word of God is hidden in our hearts and we can be courageous, nothing can do anything to us. There's a trouble out there because the world we are living in is corrupt, is filled with corruption. It's sinful. But God sent us into this world to be a beacon of light. We do not have to worry about this corrupt. We do not have to follow these trends of the world. Because we are the children of light. We are the courageous ones. And God's peace will help us stand up no matter what the circumstance we are in. My friends, do you want this peace? This peace can rule your life if you allow God. As a children of God, we are in the world and we may face tribulations. But in Christ, we can enjoy that untroubled peace. The peace of Christ is a deep and perfect restfulness in heart and mind, even in the midst of turbulent experiences of life. Before I close, my friends, I would like to give you three things that you can follow in order to experience the peace of God, in order to rebuild your life with God. Number one, accept Jesus as Savior. And some of you need Jesus as Savior. Maybe you know the gospel. Maybe you heard about Jesus Christ, but you never tried. My friends, it is worth it. You have to seek God. You have to accept Jesus as Savior. And some of you have accepted Jesus as Savior, but you do not know how to experience the peace. So, my friends, I want you to accept Jesus and keep Him as the Lord of your life. Some of you have Jesus in your life. But He is not on the throne of your life. Put Him on the throne. Make Him as the Lord. He will make everything work in your life. So accept Jesus as Savior. And number two, believe in His word, the truth. Believe in His word, truth. Then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. The true freedom comes when you believe in the word of God. The word of God sanctifies you from every evil and convicts you of every sin. When you confess your sins before God, He will make you free from every bondage of sin. And you are free to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And not only experience that restfulness in God, but you begin to bear the fruit of the Spirit. My friends, in the Bible we see the fruit of the Spirit. The love, peace, joy, and the patience, the kindness, and God's goodness, and His gentleness, His faithfulness, self-control, and what else do you need, my friend? You do not have to do anything. Just accept Jesus as your Savior. Put him on the throne of your life. Believe in his word. He will never be ashamed. Amen. And the last one, I'm closing. Commit your ways to God. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. My friends, when you put your trust in him, when you commit your ways to God, he's going to make everything straight. You do not know how to fix a problem, but God, who is the author of everything, he knows how to fix it. So let us commit ourselves to God. Let us surrender our lives to God. Everything in our life, your emotions, your dreams, your will, and your preferences, everything surrender over to God. He's ready to take care of you. God said, call unto me, I will answer you. I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. My friends, shall we accept God? Shall we accept Christ and the peace that he offers? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16 says, now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance, and the Lord be with you all. My friends, let's go to God and spend a few minutes with the Lord in prayer. If you really need that peace in your life, in your heart, you need to ask him, Lord, I have ignored so many days, so many years, Lord. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. You be the Lord of my life, my Father. I believe in your word and surrender my life to you. Lord, I need peace. I need to repair my relationships. I need to repair my families, Lord. I need to repair my attitude. Lord, I need your peace. I need that complete freedom. I need the deliverance in my life, my Father. I'll come to you. Lord, thank you for speaking to us this morning. I pray that you may touch every heart and every soul, every family. Lord Jesus, I pray that your peace may flow into their hearts as they accept you. Let this word of Father, Lord, may not be taken away by the birds of the air. Rather, Lord, or Father, let it fall into their hearts and make their hearts to be fruitful, that they may bring forth the fruit, Father. Thank you for speaking to us. Bless my brothers and sisters and their families. Keep them safe from COVID-19 and every other problem. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.